From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, about the commodity futures markets. Take a look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company up in Ludlow, Illinois, and hear how the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend looks. Soggy. From Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And along the way, I'll ask you to dial this number more than once, 217-244-9455. We have challenges to meet. We're wrapping up our spring fun drive, and it's all because, well, you pay for a large part of how this program is developed and delivered to you, our listening audience. The number to call, 217-244-9455. On this Friday afternoon of the Closing Market Report, it is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Friday afternoon, hear the way the number settled up in Chicago from the CME Group. Nearby contract in the May wheat at 744 1/4, up 3 3/4 for the soft red on its settlement price. July futures 780, 3 3/4 higher. That's the new crop soft red winter wheat. In September at 817 1/4 settlement price, up 2.5 cents. Corn pit for the day in Chicago. May futures at 742, down 12 1/4. July 11.5 lower at $7.49 1/2. September at $7.50 1/2, down 5 cents. And December futures up 0.5 at $6.56 for the new crop in the corn pit. March contract following suit. It was up 0.75 cents at $6.64 1/2. May, July, September, and December on out were lower for the day. May soybean futures $13.31 3/4, up 3/4. July at $13.43 1/4, half a higher. August at $13.44 1/2, down 0.5 cents. And September futures at $13.42 1/4, down 2 3/4 cents. November soybeans $13.39 3/4 in Chicago, 5.5 cents lower for the day. July bean meal finished at $3.50 1/2, up 2.40. July oil at $57.45, down 2 cents on the afternoon. April live cattle futures at $117.40, down 1.40. Feeders at $132.15 were 95 cents lower, and the April lean hogs, May rather, at $102.42 1/2, were down $1.70. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures trading the May contract at $109.30 a barrel, up $1.18. Ethanol at $2.61 0.8 a gallon, down 2 1/10 cents. Natural gas at $4.21 2/10 unchanged. June there at $4.27 2/10. That's just about 0.3 cents higher. May heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.21 6/10 cents. Up 2 7/10, and the gold futures on the afternoon, $13.60 higher an ounce at $1,485.30. The U.S. dollar at 74.8 is up 0.14 on the day, and the CBAR-B index at 362.78, up 2.12. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area and parts of east central Illinois. It's going to be really windy today. Occasional showers, some thunderstorms. The high near 61. It'll be breezy. East winds at 22 to 25. They'll gust all the way to 38. Chance of precip is 100% in the area. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms likely. That happening before 1 a.m. And then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 o'clock in the morning. Cloudy, a low around 45 degrees. South winds between 13 and 18. They'll gust as high as 25. The chance of precip this evening, 70%. Saturday, a chance of showers. Cloudy, a high near 51. Breezy. West-south winds, winds at 13 to 23. They'll gust as high as 32. Chance of precip on Saturday is 40%. Saturday night, cloudy, low of 39. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 64. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a 45-degree temp on the low. Monday, cloudy, a high near 67. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, down to 53. And Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy and breezy, guess where the high is going to be? 75 degrees. We'll hear more about the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, Illinois Public Media is funded in large part by you, the listener. This program, the agricultural programming that comes to you each and every day from the Urbana-Champaign campus at the U of I, is funded, well, to the tune of about 40% by our listeners. We hope that you're one of those that has done that. If you've done that, thank you so much. If not, or if you've never done that, please dial this number, 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support for the ag programming like the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, our weekend newsletter, all of those things, and everything that you can find online at willag.org. From our pre-opening market report to our closing market report, it's all funded partly by you. And it's really important that you, our listener, our farmer listener, dial in right now or hit willag.org, and that big red button up in the right-hand side of the page is you're listening online, and pledge your financial support. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. They're all simple and easy to do, and it's the right thing to do. Dave Dickey is our Director of Agricultural Programming. Dave, we've had challenges every day. Another one again today. We're headed for what? Another $500 extra?
Another $500 extra. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But I do want to say it is now Last Chance Texaco to pledge during the Closing Market Report in this spring of 2011 pledge period. Your call right now has never been more important, because it is your pledge of financial support that will keep us on track to help us end this pledge drive successfully. And a successful drive is very important, because what it will mean is we will have enough dollars, hopefully, in the bank by the end of the fiscal year to provide all of the services that you have come to depend in the next fiscal year. We're one of the few operations in the public radio chain that forward fund. All the dollars that we use next year have to be in the bank by June 30th of this year. So it's even more important that if you haven't made your pledge all of this week, and maybe you've been waiting to do so, maybe early in the week you've been in the cab planning and you've had strong focus there, now's the time to take a moment and to call with your pledge. There are lines open at 217-244-9455 to encourage you to pledge. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, who will be with us in just a second, has said, "I value what they do so much that I'm not only giving my time, I'm also going to give some additional money, $500, when we hear from 10 agricultural supporters this afternoon." 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
Thank you so much, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting joins us now on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us, Mike, and thank you very much for helping out with our fund drive. An extra $500 in our back pocket, Mike, if we only get 10 more phone calls or 10 more pledges online, and they tell us it's ag programming and the Closing Market Report. I hope that that happens.
I do, too, and I think this is a perfect year to increase the amount of time we spend on marketing, Todd, as much as we can, and also increase the amount of tangible money we can spend to help preserve something that really is worth preserving, especially at near record high or record high prices. We're not dealing with LDPs. We're not dealing with counter-cyclical payments to be able to give us our main sustenance. Let's keep that in mind, and let's give back to what is given to us many, many years.
If you have that thought about giving back, $120 levels, where we like to start. More is great, less is fine. 217-244-9455, the number to call, or willag.org, and hit the red button in the right-hand corner of the page. Tell me about the marketplace for the afternoon.
Most of the trade today seemed like more of a spread mindset, Todd, and that's where most of the trading and the price action was split up. We had a lot of unwinding of the corn-wheat spread and a lot of unwinding of corn-bean spreads, and we had a lot of unwinding of the July Dease corn spread. So that's why we had such a mixed bag trade in the grains, even though the gold was able to make new all-time highs again today, and the crude oil is back up above $110 a barrel on a firm dollar, mind you, we were able to not do much better than a mixed bag close in the grains. And I think that's because some of the technicals in terms of oversold and overbought conditions were hit. Some of the momentum indicators turned more sideways, and the sellers that were in the short side of the wheat were starting to see a little bit of a momentum shift here, and they bought back their wheat, sold out of their corn, bought back their beans, and sold out of their corn as well on the front end. So that's why we had kind of a mixed bag close.
Did you take a look at the technicals on the weekly trade? I happened to catch what Dave Dickey was putting together for me for Commodity Week for this afternoon, which, by the way, you're a panelist on. Thanks for driving in this afternoon for that one.
You betcha.
You'll have to get the, what, you got a new Volt now?
We got a new car, Todd. It's a Volt extended cab.
I'd like to see that. What was it, got like three doors on his side?
Yeah, exactly. You got to climb in through the roof. That's the problem.
There you go. Anyway, did you take a look at those technicals? There are a couple of things that were kind of funny. He happened to pull up, I think it was the O chart we were looking at very quickly. There's, I think, a head and shoulders top potentially there. But maybe more importantly, in the bean pit, we had an outside down week.
Yes, we did. We took the July beans down 60 and a half cents, and we did a lot of potentially technical damage. The bright spot on the beans was the July Nov spread did come back premium to the July to close out the week. But if we don't see in the bean complex, if we don't see the meal hold its lows from last week on the weekly chart, and we don't see that July bean contract hold that 13.28 and a quarter low from this week, then really the next support is all the way down at that 12.78 level from March 15th. And you would think that you would see a little bit more nervousness this time of the year with the beans and the corn, but I think what's happening, and it started Friday, it seemed like to me, the trade is starting to look more at the idea that if we continue with this type of weather pattern, the Northern Plains, the Tennessee River Valley, the Ohio River Valley, and the parts of the Western Corn Belt like Missouri, they probably will be looking at more bean acres, and I think we started to see some of that in the form of a weaker new crop bean contract. So I think we, you know, going into the Easter holiday and a holiday trading week and a shortened trading week, it's going to be an extremely volatile session. I think at the end of the week, we're going to have to make some tough decisions if these charts don't come back. And I would keep, if I were a client or a subscriber, I've been saying keep your eye on those November beans, because the more you limit the upside potential in the old crop, and the more you take away from the demand potential, that opens up the downside more and more.
$13.39 and 3/4 is the settlement price in the November beans today. Turn your attention to the corn market, where May futures are now back below the May futures in the wheat pit. 7.42 for corn, 7.44 and a quarter on the wheat. I don't know whether we see this one coming, where the wheat would come down in price, that feed quality or mill quality wheat would be good enough to go ahead and feed for a lot of livestock producers? And is that the way we're rationing out corn, so that we're really just substitution in that one, and rationing happens in a unique way?
I think that, and I think we're also starting to see a little bit more rationing in the energy supply side. What we saw this week was unleaded gasoline supplies dropped on refinery utilization cuts, because the MasterCard data showed a sixth straight week of unleaded gasoline demand dropping. We're down six straight weeks in a row. We're down about 3% year to date in terms of gasoline demand. So not only are we seeing less gasoline demand, but we're seeing less refining of the available supplies, and that actually built our ethanol supplies up about 500,000 barrels this week. So I do think we're getting that wheat corn split and that feed demand split, but we're also starting to see some energy rationing as far as the ethanol demand side too, because these higher gas prices are starting to hurt the demand side as well. So here again, I think the July D's corn spread was the major feature today. It lost over 30 cents for the week. December carved out a new contract high. This may be a short-term bump in the road, and we're back running higher in the July corn next week. I think that goes back to the weather market and goes back to the volatility of next week. But what you want to see is the wheat continue to gain on the corn, and then that July D spread continue to gain in terms of July leading the December and pulling the December higher. Otherwise, we're going to have to start looking at probably letting some more corn go.
And I suppose the good news here is that demand from the livestock sector looks like it's staying strong, and wheat can be substituted in. Limits the amount of corn that would be going to the livestock sector. I don't know by how much. The ethanol producers are pulling back. We saw that in the EIA numbers. How about the export numbers? Have they rationed out any at all, too?
No, you know, we had a weekly export sale in corn that was 1.1 million tons this week, and it was above trade guesses. And so I think that did a lot, and that goes into the mindset that this July D spread correction is just that, a correction. And your point about the cattle's huge because of the livestock, because the red meat numbers that just came off the wires show once again our dressed cattle weights, 770 pounds. That's 13 pounds above last year at this time. Hogs dressed out at 208. That's 4 pounds above last year at this time. We're really not doing much rationing at all, because that's where you would find the first sign of rationing or liquidation in the hogs and cattle, especially if prices keep dropping. So I think your point's really well taken about the livestock sector.
All right. Anything else we ought to add before we let you go and you get in the old Chevy Volt?
That's it. We'll talk to you on Commodity Week.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you. Darrell, good to be here, too. Mike Zuzlow is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon, firing up the vehicle, headed our way for Commodity Week. He'll be actually here in the studio by 4:30 this afternoon, like all of the rest of the panelists. They all drive in. They do that because, well, they want to talk to you directly, and they like to be here with us because there's a real unique mix when we get into Commodity Week, when you're sitting across the table from each other, that you don't quite get when you're on the telephone line. Commodity Week is our weekend look back at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. Our guest this week is Darrell Good, ag economist from the U of I. If you like that program, the Closing Market Report, the pre-opening, opening market report, everything in between, including our e-letter online website at willag.org. Time is now to dial this number, 217-244-9455. With your pledge of financial support, we're wrapping up the week. Mike Zuzlow says, hey, if we get another 10 in the bag, we'll put $500 extra in the kitty for WILL, so you need to dial up right now. Make sure that happens. And Dave Dickey's going to tell us a bit more about the reasons why.
Well, the reasons why is that at the end of the day, all the dollars that we have in the bank by June 30th are dollars that we put to use for you in the next year. And I'm already going through the budget process, Todd, for the new year, and I'm excited about what the possibilities are. We have some exciting new platforms potentially on the horizon that will make it even more efficient and better for our agricultural producers to receive a whole list of valuable information all in one spot. And the dollars that are pledged today can help that happen at 217-244-9455. I want to give a big tip of the cap to Mr. Stephen Zabel of Donovan, to Mr. Larry Wapol of San Puri, Indiana, to Mr. Robert Morris of Chrisman, and Charles and Rennie Ehler of Champaign, the latest people who have stepped up this afternoon to Mike Zuzlow's and Global Commodity Analytics $500 challenge. Because of these four pledgers, we are now just six calls away of making that $500 challenge.
Oh, that is
Let's
very good.
Let's get it
news.
Done today. 217-244-9455. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express cards.
Let's put that one to rest. That should be pretty easy to do. Start dialing her up right now, 217-244-9455. If you listen online, don't think we made it by the time we got to you at 8 tonight or 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, because it doesn't matter. You need to belly up on this one, too. 217-244-9455. It's important to do. We like our jobs. Not that we're going to lose them by any means, but we like what we do is what I'm trying to say. I hope that shows. And if you think it does, 217-244-9455 is the number to call with your pledge of financial support. Somebody else that likes his job, I know, is Bruce Bostard. He's up at the Ludlow Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. And the reason I know he likes his job is because every time I turn around, they have more elevators in their co-op. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am very, very well. So farmers are out of the field, I assume, or maybe they were still going for part of the day today.
At noon, I was at Piper City and La Hogue, and they were still in the field at that time, but it had just started sprinkling. So my guess is now they're probably back home.
A little sticky on the tires and throw her back into the shed or the pasture, one of the two, and maybe they started calling you and talking about the marketplace or not.
No, it was down today, so I think we want to pretend it didn't exist today.
Well, do you think they should pretend that?
I have a hard time yet. I mean, we still have to go through a series of steps to show that we're actually rationing grain, and mm-hmm. we still have to show that we've got the crop in the ground coming up and making good progress. I don't think we'll see anybody as a very aggressive sellers. We've got good new crop sales on. So unless we have a new contract high or move down the road 3-4 months and have more confidence in the new crop and how it looks, I don't think I see real aggressive selling into this corn market right now.
That's okay for corn. What about the beans? They're in kind of a unique place at the end of this day.
Beans, yeah, and we see beans trading a little bit better. You know, all the spread trades, old crop, new crop on corn and corn beans have been reversing for the last couple of days with some profit taking on things. Beans look like we're getting the rationing job done as opposed to corn. You know, you're seeing that crush was decent in the last crush report. The stocks weren't really building much. Export sales, we're seeing China cancel or roll some sales forward. So beans act like we're getting the job done there.
So when you look at your basis, how's it been holding up for both the corn and the beans?
Amazingly well. I mean, when you look at the corn and just how much that corn crop has rallied in the last 60 days and the basis has hung in there or improved a little bit, but that makes sense a little bit from the standpoint that an old crop, a lot of the inventory has changed hands. It's in the elevator's hands. It's been hedged. So basis accomplishes more than what the flat price does on the old crop.
And tell me about the wheat market. I don't ask you about that often, and I don't know how much you deal with it, but I'm sure you've been watching it. How is that particular market holding up? And do you think substitution of wheat for corn and livestock rations will happen? I don't know. Probably not soon, but by the time we get to June and July?
In new crop, I think part of the job of the market is to make sure that wheat does get fed, and that that's one of the things that will help us get through until new crop on corn is making sure that all the wheat around the world that's feed wheat or is substitutable for corn does get substituted in. So I think that's part of the job. I mean, right around here, yeah, we've got a lot more wheat than we had last year because of the conditions on getting it in the ground. And it sure looks good so far, knock on wood, coming out of dormancy.
And then turn your attention back to the corn and the bean market. Tell me about the river basis and what's happening at the Gulf of Mexico.
We've seen some choppy Gulf markets. We're seeing barge freight on the Illinois come down. We're having some real logistic problems with high water on the mid-miss and then up in the city. So there's quite a few elevators that aren't even able to load right now due to high water on the mid.
Bruce, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He is out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on a Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit with us tomorrow morning or this afternoon, either one, on our website at willag.org for Commodity Week. Our guest for Commodity Week, Darrell Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. It's our look back at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. We record at 4:30, post by about 6 o'clock on Friday afternoons. Between then and now, how about dialing this number, 217-244-9455, and pledging your financial support to the agricultural programming that comes to you from the Closing Market Report, Illinois Public Media, and willag.org. You, our listeners, provide about 40% of the dollars that are used to fund this program, and we need your help. Do it right now, 217-244-9455, or hit willpledge.org. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Glazed Ham Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, Oliver Evans died, an American millwright. Evans invented the first automatic corn mill, and he pioneered the high-pressure steam engine. Evans' corn mill used bucket elevators to raise the grain. and a hopper to cool and dry the meal. In 1854, New York became the first state to fund a study of insects harmful to plants. In 1874, George Harrison Schull was born. An American botanist, he is frequently called the father of hybrid corn. As a result of his research, corn yields per acre increased between 25 and 50%. He developed a method of corn breeding that made possible the production of seed capable of thriving under various soil and climatic conditions. In 1878, Harley Proctor created Ivory Soap, and in 1955, the first franchised McDonald's was opened in Des Plaines, Illinois, by Ray Kroc, who purchased the hamburger restaurant owned by the McDonald brothers. On opening day, a two-patty hamburger was 15 cents, and French fries sold for a dime. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, have you dialed in yet at 217-244-9455? I hope that is the case. We were six calls away. Well, just a couple of minutes ago, we're three calls away now, so you can help us out. 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. On the phone line this Friday afternoon to take a look at the weather forecast with us is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
Not too bad. A little wet.
Yeah, a little wet. Looks like it's going to stay that way, I guess, and kind of cool, too.
Yeah, this is not going to be a great period coming up here in the next week to maybe even 10 days for dry weather, for sure. We've got, of course, rain this morning. It's still raining up in much of northern Illinois. And we're starting to see thunderstorms fire up along west of the Mississippi River in eastern Missouri. And, of course, there's a watch out now for much of the southwestern quarter of Illinois. So that's just the start. Strong low will move up through the Midwest tonight and tomorrow. On the backside tomorrow, we'll be seeing breezy, cool, and showery conditions, not too unlike this morning when it was raining, or if it's still raining where you are. And then maybe a little bit of a break on Sunday, but now it even looks like we could be getting some rain back in here by Sunday afternoon or evening, and off and on rain really much of next week.
You got good guesses on total rainfall amounts?
Well, we could be seeing an inch to an inch and a half here before the week's out. This tonight will be highly variable depending on the thunderstorms. We probably had about, we've had a little over a half inch in some spots today, but most of it was less than that because it moved through pretty quickly. But thunderstorms locally will be dropping some heavy rain. And then the rain early next week looks like pretty widespread coverage. So I wouldn't be surprised by the time we talk next week that we could be seeing another inch and a half of rain.
Now, there will be some corn that's in the ground. They prefer that it stay a little warmer. I don't know that we're getting as cold as we thought we were to begin with. I saw 31 somewhere along the lines, but I think that one's out of the forecast. What do you think?
With the amount of clouds we're going to have, it won't be getting as cold as what was initially thought. And actually, Sunday doesn't look too bad in terms of daytime temperatures getting up to about normal here in the 60s. But with the clouds and the rain, it's going to stay on the cool side next week. There'll be some warm periods in between systems, but we're not going to get the stretch of three or four days of nice, sunny, warm weather.
Thanks so much.
All right, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet? 217-244-9455. Or pledged your support for this program online at willpledge.org. I hope so. Dave Dickey is with us for a quick update. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Todd. Guess where we're standing? One phone call to go.
Oh, one phone call. Man, I got 30 seconds, dude.
217-244-9455. Help us put over the top for the pledge from Mike Zuzolo on Global Commodity Analytics. Next call is worth $500.
Hey, do it right now. 217-244-9455. An extra $500 from Mike Zuzolo. He'll be in studio for Commodity Week. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.